This episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is sponsored by you. That is right, you. All of your Patreon donations, PayPal donations, five-star reviews on Apple and Stitcher, shoutouts on social media, articles, mentions to your friends, IHU merchandise purchases, and 3 million plus downloads all make this show possible week in and week out. Thank you, homies. This episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is also available for your viewing pleasures on YouTube. If looking at people while they podcast is your thing, you can click the YouTube link in our show notes and gaze along as we talk our shit. Inner Ho Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist ho who lives in New York City, whose pronouns are they, them, she, and her, and who spells your with an E, as real New Yorkers do.
Nah.
We gotta start it off hot right now.
Okay? We gotta start off with the fucking heat. I always want the smoke.
Obviously, because how you gonna come call me out on Dang. Our platform like that? Go ahead, Rodecca. Go
ahead. Then there's me, Rodecca, a fat, black, polyamorous, pansexual femme whose life is a series of coincidences that somehow landed her here. My pronouns are they, them, she, and her. And I also spell your with an E.
Yeah, not lines drawn in the sand. Not lines drawn in the sand.
And this is Akua, pronouns she and her, who is your friendly omni-demisexual mental health therapist who spells your with a U. And I'm going to say it with my chest because these niggas is trying me. Where's Rob?
Well, I miss Rob. Yeah, I just asked Rob in the group chat. But now you know we're 3/4 of the co-hosts stand on the year matter. Every episode of the Inner Ho Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-hosts talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally we hit you with interviews with insightful folks or do deep dive episodes on a topic of our choice. This episode, we're talking about a pissy concert-going experience, some rather strange interracial dating encounters, why there ain't nothing wrong with a little bit of poopy in your mouth, dick cakes, plus some reviews of some sensual television episodes, and much more.
And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoUprising so we can see it, and the hashtag Podin so other people can see it.
And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at InnerHoUprising without the G on Twitter, InnerHoUprising on Instagram and Facebook, and you can head to InnerHoUprising.com to pay a hoe or cop some merch.
Yes. All right. Let's get into our first segment. It is called Fuck Is This?
Oh my God, what is that? Oh my God, what is that?
It's a moment to discuss, rant about, or laugh at nonsense in the realm of sex, love, and dating. And we have a lot of fucking nonsense for you here today. So I'm very ready to get into it. The first one is about interracial dating. So there's an article written in the New York Times called Do You Hide Your True Self While Dating? Rebecca, do you hide your true self while dating?
I'd like to think I don't. I think that I make a special effort to not do that because I want to be as authentic as possible with somebody that I'm like pursuing.
Who do you hide your true self while dating?
I used to. I surely used to. And then I think it was in my last relationship where I was like, I'm about to be me. And if a nigga don't like it, a nigga don't like it. And guess what? That nigga loved it. That nigga truly enjoyed.
Your most authentic self is your most attractive self. All right. Well, there's an article called Do You Hide Your True Self While Dating? It is written by Brianna Holt. It was published November 11th, 2021. And the subheading is When Dating Interracially, Some Black People Say That Code Switching, a common practice of adapting the way they look, speak, or act in different social settings, comes as second nature. So this will not be Akua's vehemently shaking her head Rodecca is squinting her eyes.
Confusion is Rodecca. Yeah.
So I will just say, at least on my terms, you guys can chime in how you feel fit. But on my end, this will not be a highly analytical discussion of this article. Maybe in a future episode if people are into that. But we're here to talk about the fuck is this elements of this article. To engage in a more serious conversation, you can read the article and maybe search interracial dating New York Times on Twitter to join in on the discourse. But I won't do that. So
we just gonna be chatting right now.
Yeah. A little bit of a kiki. Okay, so to me, this whole article toes the line of feeling sincere in some moments and then also seeming like it was written for The Onion. So I'm just gonna give the sincere moments and you guys can comment on the sincere moments, and I'm also going to give The Onion moments. And I redacted it from our show notes so that nobody would read it ahead of time. So now it's been unredacted.
We wasn't finna read it ahead of time anyway.
I'm dead. This bitch said I don't do no fucking pre-work.
I don't even open that shit.
Don't nobody care, Sam. Ouchies. See, this is why we have beef. Anyway. Okay, so the article starts off. Last September, when Remy Barnwell, 26, started dating Ben Podnar, who is white, she was hesitant to wear her hair in its natural state. As a black woman, she was uncertain of how he would respond to her tightly coiled strands. On her first date with Mr. Podnar, Ms. Barnwell, a tax attorney in Washington, D.C., arrived wearing box braids that concealed her natural afro. 6 months would pass before she let Mr. Podnar see her kinky coils. I definitely noticed the first time she took her braids out, and I remember her feeling very concerned about how I would feel, said Mr. Podnar, 29, an audience development director for the Center of American Progress in Washington. Ms. Barnwell, who said straightening her hair since childhood reinforced the idea that my natural hair was not enough, was pleasantly surprised at Mr. Podnar's response to her afro. At first, I was really nervous, but he was immediately obsessed with it, which was a relieving and satisfying moment. So then it gets weird, because why was he obsessed with it? Yeah. I just think that a nigga living in Washington, D.C., a white nigga, to clarify, living in Washington, D.C., working for the Center for American Progress, has seen some fucking afros in his lifetime.
You've seen an afro before.
He's seen some fucking afros in his lifetime.
Like, my question.
Yeah.
Automatically, I'm thinking, how did they meet? Because if it's on a dating app, did you just have pictures of straight hair? Like, did you not mix it up and give different versions of yourself?
That's a good point. I do that in my dating app.
You won't get all the hairstyles. Yeah,
the braids, the blue short, the blue long, the fucking wigs, the black wigs, the red wigs, the blue. Yeah. Go ahead, Rodecca.
That's my question. Well, my first question, and a cool kind of touched it, was like, did she have a whole bunch of pictures of straight hair? I was like, but she didn't even do straight hair. She did braids, which is like, that's not even.
Yeah, that's not exactly not black.
Exactly. I was like, that's pretty black. That's like a very black thing to like box braids of all things. That's like one step away from.
But then if you like think about like, and this is actually the sincere part. So there's a lot of like caveats and actual conversation to be had. Fuck actual conversation. This is a bullshit episode. But like, you know, your natural hair, like when you have like 4Z hair or whatever, 4C hair, even before B hair, that shit shrinks up.
Yeah.
So like there's a certain thing when it comes to femininity and long hair that braids can give you that afros can't.
Got it.
So my next question is, she don't got no Instagram. She ain't never showed this nigga a picture of her before 6 months ago when she put them braids in. Were we really hiding ourselves?
She said that she typically wears her hair straight. I don't know if I said that already. Oh yeah, I've been straightening her hair since childhood. So yeah. Mm-hmm. And then later in the article, that's not a part of my excerpts, but later in the article, she was like, she was just tired of getting her hair put into braids. So maybe she was at like a transitioning point where she was done straightening her hair and ready to wear it natural. But she started dating white people or this white man and was like, yo, okay, we gotta stay in box braids for some time now.
I mean, okay, that's a very, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but that's a very murky place to start dating, because that transitional phase for any part of your life when you're going too natural is a hard time. Okay, there's a lot of soul searching, there's a lot of dismantling, there's a lot going on for yourself, and then you're gonna throw interracial dating in the mix.
I feel that it is an interesting time dating when you're reevaluating yourself, like something that I've been evaluating lately, as you can probably like tell with like the whole they them pronouns thing. And when I open an episode saying I'm not in the gender binary, like, hey, here's a clue. But like dating within that time period has been a little bit interesting. Because, like, I think that, and this is a conversation to be had later because it's in my notes, but I think that everybody, whether you're being your full self or not, just code switches in situations depending on who you're talking to. And I can kind of see myself acting a different way when it comes to, like, male people or men versus women versus non-binary people. And that's, like, a whole different, but I don't think that you should just, like, stop dating. Mm-hmm. Like, just because you're going through something doesn't mean, like, just shut it down. Because maybe this bitch wanted to get some dick. I don't know.
Yeah. This isn't the wildest thing that I've heard, though. Like, I know a lot of people.
That's why we have the onion section.
Okay, got it.
This is the sincere part.
Okay.
Am I done reading this? Is there more? What was the last thing? Oh, his obsession. Yeah, that was weird. That was just straight up weird. What were you about to say, Rodaka?
I was going to say, for some reason, this just reminded me of, like, when we would go, well, this happened to me, I'm sure it happened to y'all, but, like, when you would change your hair and go to school and your white teachers would be like,
your white teachers, bitch, your white fucking colleagues, nigga.
What?
Oh, should I put blonde locks in my hair? Nigga, you're bald. Shut up.
Your hair grew overnight.
You
want
to have a go, bro? You want to have a go outside?
Yeah.
Y'all are annoying with that shit. Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah.
I hated it. Did your hair grow?
I feel like ever since 2016, though, now it's just like they've channeled those comments into, wow, I just love your hair. Like, that's the only thing white men say. And my shit could be in the fucking messiest, but I just love your hair.
It's just
so. God. So maybe he was obsessed with it, Podnar.
I think it's genuine.
He was. It's a
very
white thing to do.
Yeah.
He was very obsessed with it. I believe it.
Fascinating. Anyway, okay. blah, blah, blah. I know a lot of people in her life have criticized her tight coils, so it's especially been nice getting to see her feel that attraction from me no matter how she wears her hair, added Mr. Podnar, who said he likes all of the different ways Miss Barnwell styles her hair.
Okay.
Is that Bantu knots, Miss Barnwell? Fascinating. All right. Here's the onion part. I skipped some parts and then, you know. Hair isn't the only thing Miss Barnwell says she has toned down when getting to know someone who is not black. She won't play soul music.
That's Smith up every
so
time.
So that is, because it's just very, okay, to be fair. Yeah, we've talked about it. My taste in music, garbage. I listen to a whole bunch of different genres, but it's all shit from like 10, 20 years ago. But just like, soul me, like, that's just like her number one. It just, it feels like a parody of blackness.
Yeah,
I'm not playing soul music.
She won't play that soul stuff out here. When I'm like, you sure you didn't mean rap? Like, that's the thing that I would probably not want to play on the radio.
Neo soul, maybe. I don't see you playing Aretha. Like,
was it neo soul? Yeah, but just like soul music.
You know, I don't blame her. I don't blame her for avoiding that neo soul.
I don't see you playing Shaka, baby. You might be.
She doesn't like Charlene either.
You know? Sometimes you gotta avoid it if you don't
She's
like it.
She's not trying to eat love and not go to the grocery
and
store.
Not go to the grocery store.
Okay, she won't play soul music. She wears clothes that don't expose her curves and avoids using African-American vernacular English, commonly known as Ebonics, in conversations. I don't know. Okay. There's just something about the explanatory comma here. And like, I don't know. I know that it's also known as Ebonics because like Ebony, Nyx, that's where the word comes from. But nobody calls that shit Ebonics anymore.
Anymore.
And so to say commonly known, like, do we speak Ebonics with each other?
Just say slang.
Yeah. Just say black slang. I don't know. Okay. And then this is the real kicker for me. I also wore my Birkenstocks to my first date with Ben, which I'd never wear on a date with a non-white man, Miss Barnwell said.
Why would you wear Birkenstocks on a first date anyway? Like,
okay, what? Birkenstocks are fucking comfortable, nigga.
They are comfortable, but like,
and I'd be dressing cozy as shit. I be dressing cozy as shit, nigga.
Oh, damn. I didn't realize I was coming at Sam and this.
And these niggas love it.
Are not the only possible shoe the bitch could have wore. Like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't call it that. But like, you could have worn anything. It could have been Converses.
Okay, yeah. I've never worn Birkenstocks on a first date.
I just imagine her like...
Yeah, go ahead.
Go into her closet and be like, yo, I'm about to kill this nigga with these Birkenstocks, boy.
These are the white man's ones. Like, did she think that was the white man's Jordans or something like that? Yeah, I don't know. That's just, okay. I have never worn Birkenstocks on a date. Would I? I don't know. I don't care. It depends on the date, first of all. Yeah. If you're going to the fucking Met or something like that, you're not going to wear Birkenstocks or whatever. But, like, it was, for me, that part, the ridiculousness of that part was, like, purposely not wearing it with a black or non-white people, as if, like, across the board, all non-people were going to be like, what are those?
No.
But Mr. Podnar was going to be like, oh, very attractive. Fascinating. Like, I don't
is that really that far-fetched?
I don't know, I guess. I don't know.
Because I would judge somebody for wearing Birkenstocks on the first date. Okay. But Birkenstocks are comfortable.
As like a white thing or as like a poor
No, God no. Thing. Okay, there you go. It's a fashion choice thing, not a white thing. Fuck, I want some Birkenstocks.
It depends on the date, though. It depends on the fucking date, yeah. Right? I don't know.
I just don't think Birkenstocks are cute. So like...
No, they're
if
not
I'm going,
cute.
If the I'm going to the mall or like the supermarket, but like I wouldn't go to on a museum date with Birkenstocks on. And if the person who I'm dating is white and comes in Birkenstocks, I'm not going to be like, of course, you're white. Like, so that's okay. I'd have been like, why are you wearing those?
I expected you to wear those.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I wouldn't be as surprised, but like now I'm on the lookout for it. But, you know, at the time, I'd be like, why are you wearing those on this date? That's more what I would say. But then yeah, there probably are some cute. I think I'm only thinking of like the brown ones. And they only come in brown, right? Am I wrong? I don't know.
They're expensive. I don't know. The flavors.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
But I agree with Sam that it depends on the date. Like, I wanted to go on a date to the smorgasbord, you know, when they got...
Oh, like, yep, okay.
That would be mad cute.
That's a Birkenstock date.
With some jeans and, you know, yeah. And that'd be cute. That'd be cute.
I'm wrong. I'll take my L. As soon as you said it, I was like, I'd go to smorgasbord with some Birkenstocks on. That's cute. It's like a little fair festival,
but yeah,
like a street
festival.
But it
would festival. Never
yeah.
be, but it would never, like a Queens Food Market or whatever, fuck, yeah. You know, something like that. Yeah, but yeah, it would never be because the nigga was white. It'd
yeah.
be, is this the outfit I'm about to put
right,
on?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, my personal fashion choice and comfort.
Yeah. Does it fit the, you know, does it fit the setting that we're about to be on? Not because... They not black, because black, white, Latinx, I'm about to kill this outfit.
Like, that's a fact, yeah.
You're about to see me.
So, I don't know, just like the fact that it was specifically Birkenstocks, that also felt like a parody article. Like, what's the whitest shoe I can think of? I don't know. Do
right
these people
after the
exist?
Ebonics. It was right after the
Ebonics. Yeah,
Ebonics
and Birkenstocks. Like, soul music. What's going on here?
I feel like Miss Barnwell.
Her name doesn't sound real, by the way.
It doesn't either.
It is. Podnar. Sounds like podcast. I don't know.
I believe Podnar is a white name. But
not even as a white or black name. I ain't never met no nigga named Podnar, and I ain't never met no nigga named Barnwell.
Barnwell sounds like Barnes. I can see it.
Okay.
Black people, we got fancy with the name making. Okay.
I was gonna say, I feel like all the things that like she chose to hide or switch about her blackness are like
we're very obviously black or white.
Yeah.
Very stereotypically black or white.
Yeah. And I was like, in your doing this, it's weird. Like it's kind of missing the point. And like I'm looking at soul music, I'm like, white people love soul music. They took it. Like they love it. They love soul music.
She's afraid to listen to jazz.
Like that's they love it just as much as we do, if not more. They were taking that shit. So I'm like,
at this point, it wasn't like she's afraid to listen to Afrobeat, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? That's something soul. That might have like a
I know I keep doing it.
every time we say a different beat, I go, yeah, you know.
Soul,
like,
yeah.
Cause that's what it feels like.
Soul music. Yeah, this is a South Park episode. Anyway, okay, so let's go to another sincere moment, which, you know, has its caveats, whatever.
You seem so disappointed.
This is like, I'm not here for that. Get to the ridiculousness.
This is a different...
But it has to be well-rounded.
Yes, this is a different person in the piece. Also, the fact that they just gave full names, I don't know. This is very embarrassing. But, like, thank you for sharing your story. Joseph Lamour, 38, a journalist and illustrator who lives in Washington. Oh, shit. Was this Washington, D.C. or Washington State this whole time? Oh, wait, no, it is D.C. It is D.C.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that changes. Yeah, I still feel the same way. Okay. Mm-hmm. Who lives in Washington said it wasn't until a white boyfriend confronted him about his change in vernacular that he realized he altered his speech. We were driving to Boston and got a little lost, so I asked the black person on the corner for directions, said Mr. Lamour, who is black. When he rolled his car's window back up, Mr. Lamour said his then boyfriend, a white man, asked why his why his voice changed when he spoke to the man. I hadn't even noticed I did it, but then he did an impression of it and it came full circle.
I would love to be a fly on the wall for that impression.
And on a fly on the motherfucking steering wheel in that bitch.
That's the window going back up. So why did your voice change? You said, yo, yo, yiggity, yo, where's the gas station, bro?
That's the episode title. Yo, yo, yippity, yo, where's the gas station, yo?
I am actually done right here. Thank you and good night. Because, bitch.
That rolled off the tongue, too. That was really good.
Well, you know, that's how I talk amongst my fellow African Americans.
That's exactly how you talk. That's your Ebonics. So, I get it.
This article is just like, how is this written in good faith? How did you reread this? Maybe the editor did a lot to bring it to work. I don't know. Okay, where was I?
I thought I need a moment. I just need a moment. Why? Okay.
I hadn't even noticed I did it. Oh, okay. I'm not going to read that again. It's kind of like a job interview where you sort of make yourself sound more corporate sounding in order to seem more standard so that a second date can happen.
My question is, much like this, was there never going to be a time where this significant other after the second date was going to see you around your friends? Was there not going to be a Friendsgiving? Was there not going
to
be
maybe he doesn't have reunion? Black friends, to be honest. And like, I don't know, man. I don't know. There's a lot here. And I don't want to get into the nuance. Like, I'm somebody who like, you talk white. Like, that happened to me when I was younger. But I've always grown up around Black people. Like, I've spent much of my life around Black people. So I can't even like, I don't know who these people are. I don't know where they're from. Mm-hmm. I don't know if like that's some deeply ingrained trauma that they have. It could be. He might not have Black friends. And he might be like divorcing himself from, first of all, he's gay. Like, who knows what might be with that? Like, is he bringing boyfriends home? We don't even know.
Yeah.
What is his real self? Like, was he code switching? Like, is his homeostasis how he talks to his boyfriend? And was he putting some shit on for the Black guy?
Which is what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to
say. Like, putting it on extra because, like, he is also a gay man in America. So, like, I'm trying to get these directions. I don't want anybody to fuck with me. So I'm going to, like, do this, like, fake hard shit. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
All right, to the onion piece. Whatcha?
To the onion. This article. Okay. Mr. Lamore, who said he mostly dates white men, later realized he code switches in other ways when meeting someone who isn't Black for the first time. When I'm going on a first date, I consciously put on clothes that make me appear to be a Don Lemon type instead of a 50 Cent type, even though I have both types of clothing, he said. Was it Trey Parker and Matt Smith who write South Park? They wrote this article.
They wrote because I don't. Okay, I'm just.
This is not real. Who the fuck dresses like 50 Cent anymore?
Think. Okay.
50 Cent don't even dress like 50 Cent anymore.
What's a 50 Cent type? Is it the fucking wife beaters that were like that were popular for too long? The G Unit shit?
The wife beater and the bulletproof vest.
And the bulletproof vest?
Wife. What the fuck are you talking about, nigga? And honestly, what is even Don Lemon type? A suit? The nigga's on CNN. He has to wear a suit for work. Like, what are you talking about?
It's like a parody.
He can now put on a suit as he goes meet with the people who create power. Like, does he wear the suit with a do-rag? What are you telling me?
And a bulletproof vesicle. Instead of a suit jacket, it's a book.
Just a bulletproof vest on top of the button down. Like, what are you saying to me right now?
Yeah, that was just racist. Clothing? I think that was just straight up racist. Like, I don't.
Yes.
Like I wonder if when fielding for this article, like, did the journalist actually talk to people, or were these like email? You know how you do an email interview sometimes, and this is just a white nigga. Like, this is a member of the Proud Boys, like pretending to be a Black person.
They like Don Lemon, right? And that 50 Cent.
And you know
man.
The niggas love 50 Cent.
Ooh, and no, we don't. We
not
don't
at
like
all.
Him. He's a troll.
If you're dressing like 50 Cent out here, I'm looking at you wild.
Yeah,
take that fitted off, nigga. Like, only old heads dress like that. If even.
If even anymore.
Yeah. So that was the article.
Ooh, Jeff.
Any thoughts?
I was going to say, and I mean, I did read what you wrote, but like my thought process was like, we're not condemning code switching as a whole, just so everybody knows, like everyone fucking code switches. Like I code switch for sure. Like I'm not going into work going like, yo, what up my nigga? You know, I'm not doing that. I'm not yearning at work. You know what I mean? There's a time and a place for everything.
You can year with a U at work, but you have to year with a E with your niggas.
You heard it here first, folks. But no,
this
like
antagonization.
Yeah, let's fight.
When I thought it was because
I miss you. I'm looking for physical contact in any way I can get it, even if it's coming to blows. I don't think it's just work though. It's like everybody. Like I don't talk to all of my friends the same way. You know. Like, I don't talk to my dad the same way that I talk to my brother, the same way that I talk to somebody I'm going on a date with. Like,
that's true.
Interracially, intra-racially, I just feel like we all code switch. Like, that's just, I think that that's human nature because as human beings, we are always trying to, like, build community. And some communities seek out different things and bond with each other in different ways.
Yeah.
We as social beings adapt to the environment, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Regardless of where it is or who it is. So there is going to be these forms of code switching or altering to fit in or to, you know, blend in to whatever space. And there's certain degrees to that. So like, I'm not walking into work saying you're, because I don't expect them to respond. But I do a call and response when I walk into work. What would I say? So it's a good morning. Like, it's a very sing-songy thing, but I expect that response back because I'm a Black person that likes call and response. me and Dave, I don't hear him, but I probably should.
You need to start, okay?
I need to start. But what he does is this thing that I think he got on TikTok and his group of friends do it. They go, "Hoya," and that's a call and response. When he says "Hoya," you gotta "Hoya" him back.
Aww,
"Hoya." So like, there's still, you know, these aspects of being a Black person, Black culture that I do at work is just different. Like, I will hear you guys, but it's not that at work.
Yeah,
and it's not that with my kid, but I am gonna start hearing him.
Yeah. My other thing about this article was, why was it so centered around Black and white dynamics?
Like, that's the only type of interracial couple that exists.
Period.
Everybody else is just a couple.
That's just the answer to your question. It's only Black and white.
That's it right there.
Yeah.
When you say interracial, they say Black and white. Not a Latinx person and a Black person. Not a Latinx person and a white person. Not an Asian. Nope. Not all the different types of couplings there could be. We got Black and white.
Well, that sucks, but no nuance needed. Shall we move on to the next thing?
Yes. Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
Okay, let me do a little share screen.
It's hilarious.
Y'all can see that, right?
See.
Yes. All right, next up is a tweet. "One time this girl shitted in my mouth when I was eating her ass, but I kept going because she was about to nut. At Eyes of Z." Thank you for that, at Eyes of Z. Thoughts?
Eyes of Z is into scat play, and that's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay.
That is okay.
It's perfectly fine.
I don't think you needed to frame it around that. I don't think you needed to tell us, but that's what.
That's everything. You didn't have to share that with us.
Yeah,
it's the commitment. But okay.
But you didn't have to frame it around like, oh, because she was about to nut. Because if a girl shat in my mouth when she was about to nut, I would have said, "Hey, we need to stop because you shit in my mouth." Because I'm not in scat play. So
exactly, there would have been no orgasm reached because we're stopping right there.
Yeah,
I don't like this. I'm safe wording this right now. I don't approve. I'm not into it.
Yeah, thoughts, Rebecca?
I don't know.
Have you ever shat or been shatted in? Whether purposely or by accident.
I've done anal and I've always been worried that like poop is going to come out. So like, that's a thing. But like, I always stop and I'm like, yo, don't fuck with me. Cause niggas are weird. Not weird, but they just be committed and they just be like, yo, wipe it off. And I'm like, no, I don't want to keep going if I do that. But that never happened, thankfully. Mm-hmm. Even if it did happen, I wouldn't admit it. So, but either way, I was going to say, I appreciate the commitment, but no. Yeah. You were trying to get some points, and I'm not giving you any points because you should have stopped.
If you didn't like it.
If you didn't like it, we're not shaming. I'm sorry. It just felt like it wasn't like, oh, I love it. You know, it was great. That was the added bonus. It was like,
yeah, they're trying to frame it like, oh, that's not something I'm into, but I was committed. No.
Like, I'm a hero, you know.
If that was against your boundary, then like it's okay. Yeah, stop,
you're
not, bro.
You're actually doing a disservice to yourself.
You can you can nut at any point in your life, but you can never take shit out of your mouth.
Okay. Okay.
So yeah. Also, I don't know. The whole ass eating thing has gotten a bit far ahead of it. Like, I don't know if you know, like how less people are likely to come from penetration. But at some point, it was like that's the only way I come. It's like, nah, a lot of you are lying because statistically, that's not true. Y'all niggas really coming from ass eating? Or did Janae Aiko make that song? And now it's like that. I don't know.
That was one of the first things.
I agree. There's a popularity to it that I'm like, a lot of y'all are not eating all this ass, and a lot of y'all are not enjoying it. And it's okay. We don't have to make it the go-to.
Yeah, just because Kevin Gates said it, does it, like, do we have two phones? One for the plug and one for the load, just because Kevin Gates said that too?
Well, like, cool, it has two phones. No, a lot of niggas do now believe that they have to have two phones to be a business person, blah, blah. Like, it's ridiculous. But, like, yeah, I'm entering sexual encounters and I'm like, yeah, all that anal stuff, not for me. Mm-hmm. Don't need a thumb in my butt. I don't need.
Just because Future said it, yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, yeah.
And I agree. I think that there's a popularity around it that everybody's doing it and enjoying it now. Y'all ain't.
But if you are.
Yeah.
Cheers.
If you are, get yours how you get yours.
Oh, my God. Imagine if she shitted in her mouth or their mouth and was also faking an orgasm.
Yeah.
So then no party involved.
Nobody really was even satisfied.
Kevin Gates was satisfied because he said eat the booty. Okay? Ew. We're doing it out here for Kevin Gates.
And the crazy thing the wild and ridiculous thing is that that more than likely is what happened. I will bet my money statistically that they are out there acting as they enjoy it. Now you got shit in your mouth. But you enjoyed the shit in your mouth. You don't want to tell us, but you enjoyed it, so it's fine.
Very, very layered. All right. Next thing is a tweet. If I pass the cake table at your party and this is on it, I'm taking my gift and going back home. We probably have to censor this for YouTube. But can somebody explain this cake for me, please?
So this cake is one of a black penis owning person's torso. It has pecs, a six ab, and then what seems to be a very long and curved penis shaft with chocolate sprinkles as pubes. There is also an almost rolled blunt, a couple hundred dollars. I'm sorry.
This nigga got
and
bams.
Then what appears to be cum. The penis has also came. Okay, it has ejaculated.
This is a lot. I'm gonna actually stop.
What are they celebrating?
Oh, you forgot the medallion though. Cool.
Oh, the medallion. Yes, it has nipples and everything.
What is the occasion?
I'm gonna stop sharing so I don't have to blur out the entire video. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, continue on that.
What's the occasion? There's no words on it.
Is exactly it. What was the reason for this cake?
Why did it have to come? Because maybe the occasion is the birthday of a very narcissistic penis owner, you know. Mm-hmm. Why did it have to come? What does that signify? Because to me, that would signify like you just come. Like, bro, like you about to roll a blunt, you got a couple hundred dollars and you're just nutting. Like you can't even help it. Like and then I'm like, is everything okay?
What was the party for? Yeah, I think that's a great place to start, Rodeca. That's a great question.
Oh, gosh.
I'm taking my gift home, too. You're already satisfied. You got everything going for you with this cake. I don't want it. I'm done. No, I don't understand.
I also don't like cakes that are shaped like humans.
Yeah, because then when you cut into them, I've seen somewhere
it looks
like,
grotesque.
Like realistic babies. And I think that's very strange because they'll cut into them and like, I'm like, no.
What's inside? Is it red velvet? That.
No.
Oh, imagine, nigga.
I don't know what type of cake, but that's great. Yeah, I've seen that. Or like, very photorealistic cakes kind of disturb me a little bit, so I understand.
Now, yeah. The thing is, and this reminds me of a hilarious, a funny episode from Friends, but I'm staying for the cake. I don't give a fuck. Like, I like cake, and I'm staying for the cake.
And what if it tastes nasty, nigga?
Then then I'm flipping the whole fucking table. You made me endure this. And this cake is... And this cake is nasty. I'm flipping the whole fucking table. What's wrong with you?
I'm not gonna open it again, so I hope you guys remember the dimensions, but the penis is very disproportionate to that torso. Huge. And then also so is the blunt
mm-hmm.
Because the blunt is like half the size of the penis.
Yep.
What the fuck?
Penis is almost at the nipple.
Yeah, it's
the,
up
the penis curved towards the nipple. Yes. I wonder, is it actual cake or do they just use a banana? Because I'd be pissed if it was just a banana.
Imagine.
That's kind of a big-ass banana, though. That's a plantain. Ew.
Not a plantain. Not cake-worthy.
It's not. I'm so pissed off. I don't want to talk about this
anymore. I don't think I'm taking my gift and leaving, but if that cake is nasty, somebody's going to fight me.
Yeah, I'm not going to take the gift. Somebody's going to square up. I'll leave the gift and leave and, like... Don't invite me to things anymore. I don't think we're...
I'm not coming to anything you invite me anymore. Because this is the shenanigans that you are doing.
Yeah, I never like stuff like that, though. Like, I don't really like boob cakes and all that kind of stuff. I'm just not particularly
I've never seen these things in person.
Yeah, that's good. I've never seen these things in person, but... Yeah, I guess... Good friend circle. Shout out to you guys. Okay. All right, our next thing is this Sophie Eurista story, Rodeca.
Sophie Eurista, the notes are in my phone.
Great.
Yes, Sophie Eurista, which
I need to hear.
The last name kind of sounds like
it sounds urine, like so urine. This is
fitting. I thought that was a great way to start. I was like, wow, what a fantastic
starting point.
So Sophia Eurista is the front woman for a cover band called Brass Against. They cover songs from metal bands like from Soundgarden and Black Sabbath, and she was on the stage performing a rendition of Wake Up by Rage Against the Machine, and she was just like chatting about having to pee. She said it a couple times. She's like, I gotta pee, man, I don't know, like, is anybody ready for this? And she goes, yo, that guy that's carrying a can, there was a guy in the crowd carrying a can on his head, and she's like, you, I'm about to take your ass up here, I'm gonna pee on you.
Why did he have a can on his head though?
I don't know if he was just like holding it or like trying to.
Like a paint
to,
bucket?
It just says, hold on.
Like
it
a tin can? Says,
get my man with the can on his head ready because we're going to bring him on stage and I'm going to piss on, in this motherfucker's mouth. So you don't see that part, but you do see her singing on stage. She continues to sing as she's urinating.
That's pretty fucking thing. Badass, bro.
That's you rock know, and roll. I'm not going to lie.
I can't even pee and talk to somebody. So I'm really proud of her.
She's like, I gotta pee. I can't make it to the bathroom, so we might as well make a show out of it. And like, people were wowing out. And the official statement for Brass Against on their Twitter, they were like, we had a great last night. Welcome to Rockville. Sophia got carried away. That's not something that the rest of us expected. And it's not something you'll ever see again at our shows.
Not the drummer in the back, I mean, not being able to keep time.
Like, yeah, they immediately were like, nah, we're not like totally threw her to the wolves.
We don't know her.
We don't know her.
We don't know her.
That was weird. You're never going to see that again. And she's, you know, she talks about it and she says, she apologizes for what she says is too far and she's not a shock artist. But like, people were saying, like, don't apologize for being a rock star. This is rock and roll here. We're just peeing in niggas' mouths.
Nah.
What I didn't like was she was like, people are too sensitive. You know, if a man did it, it would be okay. And if they were white, it would be fine. Now, Sophia is a woman of color.
Yeah, I would say not these days. In the past, though, rock niggas used to shit on stage, bro. Yeah.
Niggas was eating bats. I get it. We're getting wild.
Niggas have bled on stage. Like, a lot of wild stuff happened.
But I think I'm going to have to go ahead and say, I don't think it would be okay at all if it was a white man peeing in someone's mouth.
Not these days.
Not today. You know, I think the reason why I'm not like, so like, this is horrible, because I'm like, she said it before the person came on stage and we said, you're going to come up here and I'm going to pee in your mouth. It's not like she brought somebody, because you know how you bring somebody on the stage and like, it's just like a dance.
You're in for a surprise. Psst.
And then it's like P. Then I'm like, holy shit. But like, the man with the can was with it.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say that because there's a lot of pressure in the situation. True. Just because she said it does not mean that he consented to it. Because there's a lot of pressure.
Because you don't want to look like the guy who like got offered to get peed on and you're in the crowd and you go, nah.
It takes a little bit to get on stage, though, and to like, he laid down. I disagree with that.
She bends like, over him and pees.
But he made it.
But
up
also, why, if he has a can on his head, why are we peeing in his mouth?
Why does he have a can on his head? I think there's a lot in this story. Listen. Yeah, I don't. I've been to a bunch of rock shows. I've never like had a can. Like what kind of can, bro? Like a can of soda, or like a paint? Like he had a pail, like Jack and Jill type shit.
We have to. Why is that what we are focusing on? No, you're right though. Why does he have a can? Okay,
but also, why was it that we couldn't take an intermission? So you got to pee. As many times as you have stated that we got to pee, there's not a producer of this show that's like, hey, let the drama go on for a couple seconds. You run and pee.
I don't think there's a not thing. I think she like got very into like her rock and rollness and wanted to do it on stage. You know. I'm like not offended by this or anything like that. I don't see anything. I don't see much inherently wrong with it. I think if he was like already on stage and it was like, you want to get peed on? I think that would have been like a totally violating consent type situation. But like as someone who's been in the crowd and like gotten on stage, it takes you a minute to get up there. I think the nigga wanted to get peed on.
Yes. He's just shuffling. Like they had so much time through the crowd to be like, I don't know if I want to do this. And if he's like still going and he's like, and then lied down on his back and she went over him. I'm like,
and then stayed. Like stayed. If you're out of it.
Because like, then if you're like, not into it, you're like,
please stop. Like, yeah, I think nobody in the crowd consented to see that, though. And that can be taken as a sexual act or just indecent exposure. And I think that was not fair to them or the band members involved. But if everybody was down for it.
Band members were like, see, no.
Bitch, we are a cover band, nigga. What the fuck?
Yeah.
I feel like Zach De La Rocha wasn't peeing on people. This is not a Rage Against the Machine thing to do. Or maybe it was. I don't know. But like if everybody was consenting, I'd be like, that's fucking rock and roll, son. Also, I do find her very attractive. So that might be coloring my.
Maybe that's an influence because I saw her and I was like, oh.
She's a bad bitch. And then also her partner is also a bad bitch. So I'm like,
I might shuffle through the crowd a little bit, you know?
I am not into golden showers.
Me neither, but
I don't
sexy.
Find this lady attractive. I don't listen to rock and roll. And all of this is strange to me. Strange.
Oh, man. All right. Is that on that?
Yes.
Ooh, baby. Okay,
great. Next up, we're talking about a depiction of open relationships in the show You, and also how much Rebecca hates the show Goop. But first, one of our co-hosts has something exciting to share with you all.
Have you missed me? I've been gone for a while, but I'm back with the jump off. This month's article is entitled, You Know What That's Called? Growth. It is a reflection on my deployment so far. I'm talking about healing the mind and the body. I'm talking about decentering these niggas. I'm talking about being proactive about mental health. I'm talking about spirit and the source. I'm talking about sharing my experiences as a queer trans baby. All you gotta do to check out this article is be a patron. That's right, become a patron at patreon.com/innerhoeuprising for as little as $2 a month and get access to insightful articles like this, as well as other exclusive content from my favorite co-hosts. The link is in the show notes as well. Signing up helps keep us in business and keep you in the loop between episodes. This article will be up this Thursday, so be there or be square.
Okay, now that we've heard from Rob, I think now is the perfect time to reveal that Rob spells your with an E.
You know what?
And then we'll say thanks, Rob, for that message. You can check out all the good stuff on our Patreon. Also, a programming note, we're taking next week off to relax and spend time with our families and all that good shit during the holiday weekend. And then we're back for one more episode, and then we're going on break for pretty much the entire winter because hoes need rest too.
Hobernation.
Cobra Nation. Yes, yeah. I love it. But you can still catch up with us weekly on our Patreon throughout the break. Also, as I said at the top of the show, last week we hit 3 million downloads, but it's actually even more because the first 2 years of the podcast, 1.5 years of podcast, isn't counted in that metric. So 3+ million downloads. Thank you so much for all of your listens and support over the years. We love you all. All right, let's get back to the show.
Ass to media, I wanna see you watching ass to media. I wanna see you reading ass to media. I wanna see you giving ass to media. Ass.
We're starting off with our segment, Ask Media. This is a segment where we give book, TV, podcast, film, etc. reviews that relate to sex, love, dating, and or gender. We have one spoiler. Is Goop spoiler free? We have two spoilerish reviews.
Yeah.
So if you want to watch either Goop or You on Netflix, you might want to skip this. But if you don't care, partake in the last 15 minutes of this podcast. Rodeca, hit it.
So for some reason, and I say for some reason because I don't understand why people recommend things that are things I would never watch. But for some reason, I was recommended this episode twice in my lifetime, where someone said, you know what? You would love this. Sex, Love, and Goop. Episode 3, titled, Your Mom Can't Watch This. I did not love it. I don't.
Is this a sub to like, do the people who recommended this, are they listening?
I hope so, because I want to know why you love it, and I want to know why you thought that I was gonna that this was gonna jive with me.
Spicy.
You know,
see, when you host a sex podcast, people are like, "Oh, this relates to sex. You would love it."
That's true. You'll love this, and I don't. So don't do that. So we had watched the trailer for the show as a united front, and we all decided that it wasn't for us. But I was like, you know what? Let me do this. It was very. I think the best way that I could describe it, it felt very. I don't even know what contrived means. So I don't know why I was going to say that. It felt very sterile. Like everything was just like very surface level and like super smiley and like, yeah. And I was just like, I'm uncomfortable. It basically, they start the, or they have parts of the episode where they're all sitting around in a circle as couples and they're talking to Gwyneth Paltrow and some other lady that I never got her name. I'm sure they introduced her in the first episode, but I didn't watch that. And they're just talking about like, being in relationships and their issues and stuff like that. So it starts off with the lesbian couple, Chandra and Camille, who have been together for 6 years. But like, I don't know. I feel like the show is trying to be deep, but they're just saying the same thing. They're just like, we don't have porn that represents us properly. And they just kept saying like, porn is not educational. And I understand like porn is problematic or whatever, but like you can learn some shit from porn.
And there's also now a lot of porn creators who represent us properly. Like, why would you shit on them?
Exactly. So I'm like, the things that you're saying,
you're not tapped in.
And that's exactly what I felt the entire time. I'm like, you're saying things that, like, it would have been, like, something that would have been like, oh, wow, we're not talking about this in 2001. But, like, in 2021, nothing about this felt like, it just felt like something that was made for, like, people who don't, I don't know. I don't know who it's made
feminism,
for. I don't know
feminism, sex positivity 101 from 2005.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there was, like, I know that there's a tantric sex, instructor that was there by the name of Amina, who gets fully naked in this episode. That was like, wow. I was like, okay, because they do something called mirror work, and they're like standing in front of the mirror and looking at their body and talking about the things that they like, the things that they don't like, and just like really talking about why they even don't like the things or why they do like the things. And I like that. But then I noticed that like there's a lesbian couple and then there's another couple who's in their 60s and it's a man and a woman. Only the women did the mirror work.
Oh, no.
So, like, that, it's, like, things like that. I'm like, what?
Do men inherently like their bodies?
It was like, you deliberately did not put the man in there.
Fellas, is it gay to do mirror work?
I guess it is. I guess it's gay to self-reflect, my nigga. Because when you're reflecting and you're looking at that penis,
you turn gay.
You're gay.
And
you turn gay.
Gwyneth Paltrow does not want that.
And then Gwyneth Paltrow said something like, because the man in the older couple was like, oh, I like to, like, I could wake up in the morning and just, like, have sex. And I'm like, it's always on my mind. She's like, you're Randy, and I like it. And I was like, I hate this show. I hate every part of this. this is gross. Not gross, but it's just weird. And it was just like, yeah, it didn't resonate with any with me. It was very bright and like
it looked really bright. Smiling. I didn't like that about the
really bright. I don't
dark ass nigga. It's too bright in this.
Well,
bitch.
I think it contributes to what Rodeca was saying about the sterility of it.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Color creates a vibe, whether dark or whatever, but it's just like white and bright.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like a hospital room. Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. Exactly. Gotcha. Or a lab. Yeah.
Yeah. That's Goop. Sex Life
that's
and Goop.
That's episode 3 of Goop. Okay.
Yeah. Episode 2. But it comes soon.
Damn. If y'all want to recommend shit to me, come harder than this because I'm going to come on the show and just say,
niggas.
Please.
Damn.
What was that?
What was it?
Damn. Mm-hmm. Now I got to like watch it. Just to
watch it.
Yeah.
Just to.
And there was a touching moment. Like there was definitely moments where like, you know, I believe it was Camille who like had a breakthrough, like was trying to be super into the, cause they were looking at vibrators and like sex toys and different things that they could use together. And she was trying to be very accommodating and like, yeah, I'm down for this. It's like on camera, like let's undress and like try these things out or like simulate trying these things out. Cause the instructor was like kind of encouraging it for them to explore with black, they had some clothes on, but like she was trying so hard to be accommodating that she made herself uncomfortable. And like, everyone was like, it's okay for you not to want to do this. And she was just like, I just realized I don't really like my body. So I was like, that was a sincere moment. And I was like, cool. But then afterwards it was just like, yeah, I just realized I didn't like my body. And like this weird confessional bright room. And I'm just like, oh no, it's just like the tone is off. Yeah, no, I don't know. That was weird. It was a weird time. Don't recommend things to me.
Yeah,
I don't trust you guys anymore.
Stop recommending things.
Well, it makes for a good review, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. How about you? How about that show You on Netflix?
All righty, Rue. So I was watching You last week or maybe the week before at work, binging the whole episode.
Should I cut that out?
No. I run the shit over there. What they gonna tell me? The shit got done. My program is above.
See, this is why we don't need an 8-hour work week.
Yo,
let's accomplish what we need to accomplish and leave
and go home.
Okay. They ran reports. My city is above. My program is above city expectations.
Okay, talk your shit. I just been there 3 months.
So I'm gonna watch my Netflix as I run my reports.
Like it helps with the process. So
it does. So I was watching it. Because I know it had came out. It came out in October and I just like wait for all the buzz to pass before I tap into things. So I'm not influenced because sometimes I am. So we will talk about, I'll be talking about You season 3, episode 8 titled Swing and a Miss. And a quick summary is You is an American psychological thriller TV show which follows Joe Goldberg, a white man who stalks and kills for women he believes he's in love with. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes kills them.
And then kills them, yes. not sometimes. He all the time.
Not yet.
What do you mean?
He didn't kill, I'm sorry, her name is Prudence in Sabrina. I don't
know. Oh, yes. Her name is Marianne in this one. Yeah. In season 1, he crossed paths with an aspiring writer and begins to stalk her on her social media and through technology, obsessing about a delusional relationship with her ultimately rejecting him and dying by his hands. Season 2, he then moves across the country to the West Coast to start over because he has to run from all of that. falls in love with a local heiress who he begins to stalk and kill for, as well as stalking his journalist neighbor and her 16-year-old sister. I had a lot of points of contention with season 2 because it got very, I didn't like a lot of it. But okay. And then here we are in season 3 where he and the local heiress that he loved and killed for moved to a suburb in San Francisco to escape their old life of love, violence, and murder and start anew. So there's a lot of killing and then running away. So in the last part of episode 7, didn't get the title of it, there's a character named Sherry who is now Love's. Okay, so main characters here are Joe, Love, Sherry, and Carrie. Sherry plays Love's new best friend in this San Francisco suburb, and she proposes to Love that she try swinging with her and her husband. I didn't like the way it was introduced because we as friends.
When you say you didn't like the way it was introduced, do you mean in terms of the writing of the show or in terms of how the characters introduce it?
I don't know if I can tease that apart.
I think the writers purposely made it not the healthiest situation because these characters were purposely like very flawed people. I don't think it, personally, I don't think that it was poorly written.
No, I don't. Okay, there. Thank you. So, no, it wasn't poorly written. I didn't like the words.
The characters, how they introduced.
I haven't seen the season, so I have nothing to.
I'm dead. I thought you watched it this whole time.
I know. I'm so sorry, Rojack. I'm spoiling it.
I thought on our meeting you said that you watched it. My bad.
No, I was going to. I looked at it and I was like, I can't be the one to be like, but I haven't watched the show. So I was just like, I'll watch something even if it's spoiled for me. So I'm fine.
Yeah, I just don't think I like this being a plot turn in the storyline. So that there's an introduction in episode 7. The bug is put into the air and we get to episode 8. So we have Love and Joe. Love is trying to spice up the marriage with Joe because she can feel his disinterest. Joe, he is the narrator. He does the narration of the show as well. And he lets us know inside his head that he's using ethical non-monogamy as a gateway to inevitably break up his marriage so he can go gallivanting off with the new woman he loves. Mm-hmm. He also identifies himself as a serial monogamist. So Joe ain't in it at all. He ain't with the shits, but he sees this as a way to end things with Love so he can go off. It is in episode 7, it was introduced that Sherry and Carrie, her husband, are in an open marriage. Joe goes on to describe Polly as, quote unquote, a flatlining marriage's dying gasp. I was like, that's a lot there. That's...
Yeah, that kind of hurt my feelings.
You see me right? Like, I don't like that.
In the setting up of this, what really got on my nerves is that let me not say this because I'm not a poly expert. Maybe you guys can shed light on that. But they identified poly as the same as swinging. They're not the same. Thank you. I was like, no. So he was like, poly, a.k.a. swinging, a.k.a. the lifestyle. I'm like, poly is not just swinging. Mm-hmm. So to make that conflation irritated me. But it's TV.
Yeah. Can I step in? I actually liked that they did that because Joe doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. So he's like unreliable narrator type trope where it's like he goes off in his tangents in his head where he's like, and I know this and I know this and I know this. But like everything he says is
fine.
Like he's wrong. He thinks he's Dexter, but he's really like a bumbling serial killer who like can get caught at every turn. So.
Well, I didn't like that because it sounded like he was quoting from a book. And they actually showed that book. I can't remember the name of it. It was
Blue. Was it obvious that he was incorrect in the show?
To me, it was, but I am actually not a monogamous.
Exactly.
I don't know. I think as like someone who's watching the show, knowing that Joe is always fucking up, I think that there were clues there that Joe doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. But I think if you're just like taking it at face value and not too knowledgeable about non-monogamy, then you might be like, oh yeah, a dying marriage is failing grasp or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So the episode starts out with him reading about Polly because his wife wants to do it and he's using it as a way to end their marriage. And, you know, as we know, to open up a relationship, you need a solid foundation.
Yes.
You know, we need a solid foundation to do this from. But here in this marriage, Love is emotionally and physically cheating on her husband with the neighbor's 19-year-old son.
Oh, Love.
And Joe is emotionally and physically cheating with his boss at the library. Yes. We ain't solid.
No.
nor has he communicated to her that he no longer wants to be in a marriage with her. So we not solid. We far from solid. This is jagged rocks. It's horrible. Mm-hmm. It's horrible. But again, we are moving on. So they have this first meeting. Throughout the episode, there's like talks of them kind of highlighting that they know that they're not solid and they're unsure about this, but they decide to go to the experts, quote unquote, Sherry and Carrie, to help answer some questions and kind of really push them into doing this. Mm-hmm. That was their goal. So I like the way that the first meeting was set up. It took place in her bakery and they had like all the shades drawn. I'm like, y'all don't need all of that to have a conversation. People know y'all are friends.
Yeah.
They can't hear through the glass. Like, why is it such a secret thing? But okay. Shades are drawn. There's nobody. The bakery's closed for service or whatever. And they're talking. They started off with a non-disclosure agreement, NDA. They were like, before we get into anything, you got to sign this. And I liked it because it kind of set confidentiality as a boundary. It was like, we got to, you know the suburbs. You know there's cameras everywhere. Niggas be talking. Mm-hmm. We got to let this know that this don't leave the four of us. I like that they discussed STDs, menstruation, and child care. That was like very much, hey, where are you? Where do you stand on this? But I don't like that only Love and Joe were asked about their STD statuses. Sherry and Carrie did not disclose theirs, and Love and Joe didn't ask. It was a very one-sided conversation. Like, they were just being berated with these kind of, it was like an interrogation. Like, all right, so STDs, anything we should know? Mm-hmm. When was your last period? And it wasn't a mutual conversation of like, we're sharing this information, so we're all well informed. But okay, we can tag that into Love and Joe not really knowing what the fuck they were doing. Mm-hmm. They discussed boundaries regarding different pairings. So it was like, oh, Joe, are you okay with me and Love, Sherry and Love getting together? Are you okay with Love and Carrie getting together? Are you okay with getting down with Carrie? Mm-hmm. Like, they were talking about all these different different pairings that can happen. I like that that was a conversation. And then the meeting immediately ended when there were cracks in their communication. Like, I think the question was, Love, are you okay with Joe and Sherry getting together? And Joe said no, and Love said yes. And Sherry and Carrie looked at each other like, all right, deuces, that's it. We can't have this conversation. Y'all are evidently not on the same page. And it ended with them saying, hit us up when you're on the same page.
Can I chime in?
Yes.
With the discussion, I think it also, like what you said, it's a little bit more like nuanced to me when it comes with like Love and Joe don't know what they're doing, because Joe is like purposely trying to sabotage it. So he, like, to me, mm-hmm. purposely wasn't engaging, because he's like, as wrong as this can go, I want it to go that wrong.
Go wrong. Mm-hmm.
And then with Love, it's like, I don't know what the fuck. I guess the whole series, when Love is introduced, is like, what world is Love living in? It's not the actual reality that exists. So she's not even like tapping into like these kinds of questions that she should be asking. And then on Sherry and Carrie's end, I think it was indicative of them being like predatorial. Like the whole, like there's scenes in the rest of the series where like Carrie's like literally in the woods, like as a stalking man, like stalking mm-hmm. his fellow friends for like fun and shit like that. So like, that's kind of what that signified to me. Like, we're the ones in charge here. We're dominating over you.
I think you've hit the nail on the head for me, Sam, and why I didn't like it introduced, because it was very predatory. It was like at the end of episode 7, when Sherry brought it up with Love, it was like, did you not get the hint? I sent you that blog. It's my secret sex blog. And she said, me and Carrie have just been, as we get to know you, we yeah, really like just praying on take them. You down. Like, it was, I was like, oh, wait, can we back up?
Yeah.
Can we, wait a minute. Thank you. That's the wording I was looking for. So this meeting abruptly ends. And next we see Joe and Love trying to, quote unquote, get on the same page. So there's like a failed role play. Love is mildly flirting with the neighbor's son. Joe goes and acts jealous, eats her pussy, and then boom, they decide they're on the same page.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
And I was just like, wait a minute. There's not enough here to get the pussy eating does not build a solid foundation. It just don't. I'm
In
sorry.
In Love's world, it does. But I also think a part of her didn't believe that it was a solid foundation either.
Oh, yeah. She knew. Yeah. She knew. But she wanted to be oblivious. Yeah. So they are now on a solid foundation. They're texting Sherry and Carrie to get it on. This, in my world, TV time moves different, but literally had to be like 2 days. Literally had to be 2 days. Nothing indicates that it was a month later, that it was 6 months later. It felt like by the middle of that week.
Yeah, to me too.
We magically on the same page. And I'm like, how is that not a red flag to Sherry and Carrie? But as you have pointed out, which filled the dot, they were so predatory that they didn't really care.
Yeah, they didn't care.
They didn't really care. They were trying to fuck, okay? They yeah. were trying to fuck.
Which you can also see a little bit, I'm sure you'll get to this, when Carrie and Joe have their first interaction, when he takes his dick out. Mm-hmm. And he's like, nigga, let's touch dicks, nigga. Let's do it right now. And Joe was like, wait.
So yes,
I gotta watch this fucking season, son. I'm sitting here like, what the fuck is happening?
This episode right here, I was flabbergasted. I was like, is nobody else watching this but me?
Wow.
So now it's party time. Love and Joe are hosting. They get there, and I like that they discussed safe words. I was like, all right, we didn't put safe words in place. They did activities to create intimacy and to build comfort. But like Sherry and Carrie roll up to their house with 3 full carry-on suitcases and a book bag full of toys and other things. They brought in toys that were not prior discussed because Joe was like, is these niggas moving in? Yeah. Why is everybody surprised that y'all got all, but why do we need all these suitcases? But why are we surprised that you have all these suitcases? So that was a no for me. They showed the use of stimulants and drugs as prep. And I know that, like, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh my God, people don't use drugs or whatever, but they made it seem like it was a necessary part of this action.
And also like it was Carrie shilling out his fucking products because he made them.
Yeah.
Capitalist incentives.
And that I don't like being paired with Polly because, you know, people get the wrong idea. Like, we could do this without any stimulants, drugs, or whatever, just off of our natural desires. It kind of continues to put it in the realm of taboo to me.
Okay.
Then we get to the part that Sam was talking about Carrie pulling out his dick. So Joe and Carrie go upstairs. Carrie starts undressing. And really, he's butt naked in front of Joe. He's like, you go ahead. You can look at my dick. You can look at my dick. Like, in this very engage with me sexually kind of way that Joe was like, nigga. Like, not really into, but coaxing himself to be into. Not for his partner, but for this woman that he's in love with and believes he has to do to be able to be with her. So wrong. And then Carrie begins to non-consensually start masturbating in front of Joe, in front of a mirror, which I was just like, I guess.
You is getting wild over here, man. What is happening? Okay.
Things start to get heated. Everyone's in the bedroom now. Getting it on. Apparently Joe got a big dick, which was a really good revelation for me. I enjoyed it. I was like, hey, now
that's why he walks around with all that undeserved confidence.
Yeah.
He's like, end of the day, I can lay pipe, okay?
There is use of the safe word when it's no longer enjoyable by love, which I loved, and everything immediately landed. Immediately. And I was like, oh, I respect this. But the whole party ends with the confession of murder and 2 swingers now fighting for their lives. And I just want to say that, like, that's
a gun.
Not how
a gun was in one of those carry-ons.
Yes, people done brought weapons with them. We had meat hammers and knives. That's not how play parties typically end. I just want the world to know. It
depends on what you're into.
Well, yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah, those were the points that I took out from that episode that just... It was a time. It was an episode. I tell you, it went left quickly many a times, but it was interesting to see polyamory brought into will be depicted, and I just kind of wanted to highlight the positive depictions and the negative depictions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's like a good, if you ever wanted to do a workshop, you know, a nigga like yourself loves to do workshops to like pull and like kind of like use it as like a teaching thing, like good to do, not good to do. Yeah, cool. Thank you, Akua.
Thank you.
Rodeca, any thoughts?
Like I said.
You just got to watch the show.
Yeah, I just got to watch the show. And now I'm like, all right, now I know what I'm doing today because I didn't know that we were even getting here. But I always worry when I think, like, the things that you're saying, I always worry about people who don't really have the knowledge about representation of ethical non-monogamy or being poly. And I guess I can agree with Akua just from like what I'm reading and what you were talking about, where I just don't like that this might be people taking Joe's words as like, because people do think that Joe is right. Like they do think that he's a really smart person and they think that he's right and he's a reliable narrator a lot of the time.
Who the fuck thinks that?
Niggas do. I don't know. I'm telling you.
People do.
They do.
Okay. We're not all lateral reading that.
Yeah, but like, okay. But like, niggas need to become that though. Like, this is why media literacy is very important to me. Cause like, if you're walking into this, like, okay, this is the way I can do things, you are not watching anything with a critical eye. That's scary.
But no, that's people. That is people. They will, this may be their only depiction of polyamory, and we'll take this misinformation and try to move forward. And
this is not misinformation though. This is an artistic depiction of something happening.
Yes.
You spitting it, not you, but like someone spitting it back out as like, oh, this is how you should do this. That's when it becomes misinformation.
Sorry. So yeah, like that does worry me because a lot of people watch this show and I don't want them, like even the line of flatlining marriages dying gasp, like really kind of gut punched me because I was just like, I don't like that.
So like, I really don't. Like, then what though? You know, like should the writers not write nuanced depictions of things or like what is it Akua does a breakdown of every...
And there's always somebody
like, I don't know. I think it's just like you said, solution?
The responsibility is on the viewer to be like,
it is.
Okay. Like, is that what this is? I'd like, am I taking this character who's obviously not, I don't understand why people do it, but I've seen like on Twitter, I've seen it on Instagram where you just like, think he's like an intelligent dude who like has it all together. I'm like, he's clearly not, he is not that person.
No.
But yeah, I think it's just like, it's like you said, it's the responsibility of the viewer to do some lateral reading and like not take this one character's perspective and make it like law.
And but, this isn't, you know, the writers could have done a completely horrible job. There were a lot of great points, and I think I have more check marks listed than X's.
Yeah.
So these other things could be like, are nuanced, and it's, I don't want to say nuanced, but are minuscule in a sense, you know. But I think overarchingly, it was a positive-ish display of poly, or I don't want to say poly, but getting into swinging and setting things up.
I don't think it was positive or negative. I think it was like, I would more so use accurate versus inaccurate, and I would say this is an accurate depiction of if two serial killers try to engage in polyamory with their narcissistic predatorial neighbors.
Yeah.
I think this is as accurate of a representation as it comes for that specific scenario.
Yeah. And if you're like, getting your shit from narcissists and serial killers, I don't know, man. I don't know. Just do an extra Google Pro.
If this in some way piqued your interest, take it to a therapist, but also then Google. And also Google, not the, you know, not the fact that swinging piqued your interest, but watching serial killers embark into swinging.
Oh, yeah. There was that. You know, take that. There was that whole therapy thing. Do you have things to say about that?
Oh, when they went to they went to couples therapy earlier in the season.
Would you do a Patreon breakdown of that? That would be interesting. Like in the same way? Because I'm more like, I feel like I would personally derive more from that because I'm like, well, was this even a good therapist? Because a therapist is not a character who was a narcissist or a serial killer or these bad characters. Like, she was just a neutral person. Like, is that an accurate depiction of what a couple's therapist would be?
Yeah, I had some points of contention. So, yeah, I could actually do that as a Patreon because I was like,
behind the paywall, niggas. Sorry about that.
That is a good idea. But yes, that is episode 8 of You Get It.
Thank you very much, Akua. And thank you for that Goop breakdown, too.
Yeah, no problem.
That has been
I'll never do it again.
That has been Ask Media, and that's been another episode of The Inner Uprising. If this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, and let everyone you know that you love these hoes. We appreciate all of you.
And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inaho Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inaho Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. Head to InahoUprising.com to pay a ho or cop some merch. And if you would like to follow me, you can at The Darkest Timeline on Instagram.
And you guys can follow me, Akua, at Hey Akuwa Girl on Instagram.
I'm Slamrid on Instagram and Twitter. Have a lovely motherfucking week because you deserve to, and we'll see you 2 weeks from now. Bye.
Bye. Bye.